If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. In a shocking stance, the vice president nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chances at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax-deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, Philippians 4 has so many quotable verses. I'm sure you've heard of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. My grandmother used to always try to teach me Philippians 4:11. Paul said, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Well, we'll continue more in Philippians 4, but I want to welcome one and all to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here, along with Bert Harper, and we invite you to get a copy of God's Word and turn to Philippians, and we'll look at those scriptures. But Bert, we have a very special guest with us in this first segment, and we're going to talk about the Activate Conference and the worldview training that AFA is producing. But one of my favorite people to learn from and to listen to, Abe Hamilton. It's good to have him in the studio with us, isn't it?
It really is. Abe, thank you for coming.
Thank you guys for having me.
Let me just tell you, we've got two people that's going to be at the Activate Summit. And Alex, I know you're on board, and I know Abe's on board, so it is going to be strong. Let me tell everybody what it is real quickly, and then you two take over and kind of talk about it yourself since you're going to be there. But it's in June the 12th through the 14th in 2025. It's going to be here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and it's for all ages. And they've got programs for ages of 6 to 12, and then there is the possibility of enrolling an early bird registration, and you can get 20% off, and you go to activate.afa.net/summit. Let me give that a little slower. activate.afa.net/summit. And so it's June the 12th through the 14th next year. We're looking forward to it. And just let me start off with this question. Abe, do you know what your responsibility is in the area of preaching and teaching? Have they given you a slice, or have they said, "Abe, just take us anywhere"?
well, my portion of contribution to this summit, and for those who don't know, that this will be June 12th through the 14th next year at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center
here in Tupelo,
Mississippi. My contribution will be from 1 Timothy and simply articulating the authority of Scripture, how it is vitally important that Christ followers refuse to allow anything, including the cultural mores, the winds of what's happening contemporarily, to move us away from the true bedrock that is the authority of God's Word. Frankly, as believers, it's not that we have an opinion. We endeavor to have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ is articulated for us clearly in the Word of God. And so that is what a part of what I'll be contributing to the Activate Summit. And I will say, I find this to be a bit providential, because I've described what we just witnessed with our 2024 elections as God bestowing mercy.
Amen.
Upon our nation, giving our nation a respite, and frankly, providing grace and space for the people of God to do what we're called to do.
Amen.
And contrary to popular protestations, a booming economy does not make a nation great. A powerful military doesn't make a nation great. The scripture tells us righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. And so I find it to be providential that this summit will be focused upon training the body of Christ to activate, to take full advantage of the time that God has afforded us to be salt and light, so that we won't have to fear being pushed to the societal brink any longer, because we will respond with what George Washington said are indispensable supports to this constitutional republic that we have. That is a biblically anchored morality and a religion that is fixed on the word of God. And so the immutable, unchangeable, inerrant, infallible word of God must once again be the core of life in this nation if we are going to be great.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Well said, Abe. The Activate Summit, and folks, check out this website, activate.afa.net/summit. Now, here's the theme, and I love it. Biblical bedrock, building on the authority of Scripture. Abe, when I was approached several months ago by Ed Vitagliano's daughter, who's helping organize this, she asked me if I would speak on the evidence for the Bible, that the Bible is the divine word of God. Mm-hmm. Scripture is of divine origin.
Amen.
And I believe that it is. I think compelling lines of evidence point to the authority and the reality of Scripture. So, I love this because she said, you know, go as deep as you want. We want the evidence that the Bible is the God-given, infallible Scripture. And I said, you bet. That's a thrilling subject for me. Also, my colleague and friend since 1990, Frank Turek, is going to be their best-selling author. Todd Herman hosts a show on AFR called A Disciple's View, the Todd Herman Show. Of course, Abe Hamilton III, one of my favorite people. He's got such a great sense of humor, you don't realize how brilliant this guy is. But Ed Vitagliano, I mean, one of the most intelligent persons I know. And so, folks, we want you to be a part of this, the Activate Summit. It's June 12th through 14th there in Tupelo. And Abe, tell us that venue again. What's the name of the venue?
Yes, it's the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center right in downtown Tupelo, Mississippi. It's the largest arena in Tupelo.
So that's a big coliseum, isn't it?
That's right. That's where it will be. And we are looking forward to all the AFR family, all the listeners to join us for this endeavor, because the focal point is to be sharpened, to be equipped, so that we will activate. And I just will reiterate, with the time that God has given us, we have to put our hands to the plow. We can't look solely to Washington, D.C., or looking, frankly, to other people. My question always is, what are you doing? What am I doing to take advantage of the mercy that God has bestowed upon our nation? And we must be salt and light. Being sharpened and equipped to be that salt and light is a vital and necessary component of being salt and light.
Wow. Well, and folks, just let me say, if you've never been to Tupelo, Tupelo is a wonderful city. There's just so much to love about Tupelo. And great time of year, beautiful, you know, summertime. And go to the website, if you would, activate.afa.net/summit. There's also some sponsorship opportunities if you want to be a sponsor, or vendor opportunities, maybe, you know, I don't know, Christian schools and different ministries, or authors or publishers. I don't know all about that, but there is a kids track for ages 6 to 12, and then for teenagers and up through adults. Guys, we all know how transformative it is when people know biblical worldview. You understand how to see all of life through the lens of Scripture, and it is very empowering. And Abe, I know it was many, many months ago the plans were laid for this, and now, given where our culture is and the opportunity that lies before the church in America, I really think the timing of this is very providential, don't you?
I do. I though we didn't know what was coming, God knew. And he knew.
He didn't say, uh-oh.
No, he didn't say, uh-oh, at all. And knowing full well what was to come, he set things in motion to allow people to be equipped. You know, I hear all the time people saying, you know, I say on my show all the time, we have an intelligent faith. You know, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have. And sometimes people ask me, man, Abe, I don't know all of this information that you know. I don't have this at the ready. Well, Activate is one of the tools that God has made available so that you can be sharpened, so that as our brother Alex McFarland goes through the evidence that supports the reality that when we hold the 66 canonical books of Scripture in our hand, we are holding the infallible, and I would add unassailable,
amen,
word
amen.
Of God. There is a bevy of evidence available to us. You know, we have the most verified document from all of antiquity. You know, more verified than Caesar's Gallic Wars. You know, more than the musings of Socrates' interactions with Aristotle and things of that nature. And so we can stand flat-footed, ten toes down, square-shouldered on the truth of God's word because it is, in fact, God's word. Well, you can be sharpened and equipped to state that just as emphatically as I just did, knowing that you can back it up by coming to the Activate Summit this summer.
Let me say a word. The key word, and I heard you say it, equip. Mm-hmm. This is an equipping summit. It is an equipping. So you can go away. So those of you who are pastors, those who are teachers and come, not only will you be fed, but you will be equipped to go back and equip others. It's like a ripple effect, and that's concentric circles. And that's what AFR is all about, AFA. Part of our ministry is equip the saints. And that's what God told them to do in Ephesians and equip the saints. So you guys are on target. Alex, who else did you say is going to be there now?
Well, there's going to be Todd Herman. He's great. There's going to be Ed Vitagliano, who is just, like I say, one of the most brilliant people. Abe Hamilton III, of course. Frank Turek. And let me say, if you've never heard Frank Turek live, one of the greatest speakers, we've been friends for well over 30 years, but Frank is the host of I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. He's heard just, I don't know if it's every day, but I know he's heard at least once a week on AFR, a brilliant speaker. And one of the things that I love, guys, Abe, I'm a big student of revival. I love to read about the Great Awakenings and the places where throughout history the Holy Spirit of God has moved, people have been saved, the church has been strengthened, culture has been changed. Folks, don't forget that America, our culture, can be changed by a move of God among the people of God. But here's the thing, this is where the Activate Summit comes in. In all of the legitimate awakenings and revivals, there's been two things, a return to the authority of Scripture, that God's word is the rule for living and thought and behavior in the life of every Christian, the authority of God's word. But then there's been biblical literacy that changes the culture. And Bert, I know you and I have talked about there was not only the Reformation, there was the Wesley-led revival in Britain, then there was the First Great Awakening in the colonies of the fledgling young America, then the Second Great Awakening. When there is a return to Scripture, individually, corporately, it changes the culture, it changes the world. Abe, we need that again, and it can happen.
Amen. We desperately, desperately need it. Don't wait, because what I would hate for to happen, people to say, oh, man, I heard about that conference that's coming up, and I'll get to it at some point. I expect this thing to be full. You know,
we hope.
You know, and so I would hate for people to wait to register. Obviously, pray, see what the Lord would have you to do. But as the Lord moves you, I would encourage you to respond quickly. Take advantage of the early bird registration opportunity, because I don't want you to wait too long and say, okay, now I'll register, and then you hear the word go out, oh, the Activate Summit is full.
And that's January the 1st. Register before January the 1st. That gives you plenty of time to look at your schedule, plan it ahead, and then make sure you can be here. And again, they have tracks for all ages. And right now, it's a 20% discount. In other words, you can save $15 per person, adult. And I'm just letting you know how much you'll save, and that's worth it. And it's going to be worth more next year, I'm praying. Okay. Well, but we are praying that it will be a success. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, and this is June 12th, 13th, and 14th. And let me also encourage people to sign up early because you want to get lodging around Tupelo. There's a lot of hotels, but like Abe said, I think it will fill up.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Abe, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Hey, man, it's good to have two Activate guys here, and we're looking forward. After this, we're going to jump into the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 9. Right after he says, think on these things, how do we do that? How can we accomplish that? Well, Alex and I are going to share with you next, right after this break.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies by introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love. Her baby's chance at life doubles. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250. B-A-B-Y, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. preborn.com/AFR.
Right now, want that mountain to move. Right now, want the ocean to part. Right now, God, I'm looking for you, and I'm wondering where you are. But why do I worry? God, I know you haven't failed me yet. Why do I worry? You prove it over and over again.
Amen. God is faithful. And listen, we can trust him. So we thank God for what he's doing in your life right now. Matter of fact, we're in Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 8 before we go to verse 9. We got through verse 8, but it's hard to read verse 9 without having verse 8 read before it. And it says this, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, here's what he said. The things which you've learned and received and heard, what you just now read, too, he could add that if he wanted to, and you saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, he is saying these things you've learned, you've received, you've heard, you've seen in me, do them. Now, Alex, when I read verse 9, I said, I think I saw something a little bit like that. And I turned over to chapter 3, verse 17, and listened to what Paul said there. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. So, Alex, he has said it two different times in the book of Philippians. Follow me, boys. You know, he is saying, follow me. What you've learned, what you've received, heard, and saw in me. In other words, what he did, his walk and his talk matched up, Alex.
Yeah, you know, Paul says this in a couple of places. These things which you have heard and seen and watched in my life, do these things. And Philippians 4:9, the God of peace will be with you. So these are some of the... Like I said yesterday, Paul is good at making lists, but that's true. You know, the things you've learned and received and heard, and the Greek words behind these things are very pictorial. But, you know, the gospel, we hear preaching, we read the Word of God, we see authenticity in the lives of Christians around us. And it all adds up to be a powerful witness. You know, we call that the witness of the gospel. And Bert, the witness of Jesus should be visible in all of our lives, shouldn't it?
It really should, yes.
And it does impact those around us. Verse 10.
Before you go to, I just want to slip this in real quick. It hit me. Look at verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. And then in verse 8, the God of peace will be with you. Why can you have the peace of God? Because God is the God of peace. Alex,
amen.
He can give who he is to us. That's awesome. Go ahead to verse 10.
And that's
that
true.
Great.
When the Lord is in our life, and number one, we just would say to everybody listening, make sure that you have received Christ as your Lord. He wants to be your forgiver and your leader, and not only save your soul, but restore your life. And that's why we say, if you've never made that decision to trust Christ, do it today. But here's the thing. God is love. God is knowledge and wisdom. God is the God of peace. He is omnipotent. Now, we don't become God, contrary to what the New Age movement or Eastern religion would say. But when you have the God of peace in your life, you'll be at peace. When you have an omniscient God who knows all things, you'll become wiser than you otherwise would have. When you have the God who has all the power, then if you allow him, you can become self-controlled. Because what's such a beautiful thing is some of God's attributes, his characteristics, become our own character traits. Isn't that beautiful? The Bible talks about growing in Christ-likeness. And it really, if we allow it, the presence of Jesus in our life touches the whole person.
Really does. And verse 10, I think, goes ahead with that peace in all circumstances, because we're going to get to that about him supplying all of our needs. And that verse you quoted earlier that your grandmother wanted you to learn about in all circumstances. But listen to verse 10. Here's this word again. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. In other words, he's just received word from them and an offering from Epaphroditus, and we'll hear about him again in this book. We've already heard about him being serving the Lord, even to the point of death. And it says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that you care for me, and it has flourished again. He has told them it's for your benefit as well. Not because here it says in verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And now we'll get to verse 12 because it amplifies that. But Alex, how important when he says content, he's not talking about being content and not growing with the Lord. He's not talking about being content with, it doesn't matter what I do. He's being content in the circumstances that I find myself in serving the Lord. In other words, this contentment is based upon him doing what God has called him to do. And he says, I do know how it is to have a lot, and I know what it is not have very little. But when I'm serving the Lord and doing his will, there's contentment there. Is that what the contentment is?
Amen. Bert, well said. The wording there really means satisfied. It means that Jesus suffices. And like you say, it's not resignation or inactivity or anything like that, but to be satisfied with Jesus. You know, we're a very consumeristic culture, and very often we're content with who we are, but we're not content with what we have. In reality, it ought to be the other way around. We ought to be content with the things we have, but really not content with the person we are. In other words, we want to grow. My grandmother would say that. I remember when I was a kid and we'd go to the department store, I always wanted a brand new bicycle. Or I wanted a better baseball glove, or I wanted, something. And my grandmother would gently say to me, she said, the Apostle Paul, writing from a jail cell, the Apostle Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And it would be many years before I even knew where in the Bible that was. But it's not the things we have in life that matters, but it's the person we are as a Christian. Paul says this, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Hey, you know, Bert, most of us can relate to the fact that sometimes in life you don't have a lot of money. Sometimes in life you're just scraping by. But if you have Jesus, you've got enough. And then there's times that you're blessed and you've got plenty, but we don't forget God or become prideful. Isn't there just rich, rich wisdom in these how to abase, how to abound, how to thank God when you're full, how to trust God if you're hungry? There is just such life wisdom in these words from Paul, isn't there?
There really is, and he waits to the last chapter to get this in because he's reminding them again, as we said here in verse 10, that your gift has been a blessing, and it said, you know, you surely do care for me, but you lacked opportunity. Now, I just want to say a word, and we'll move on. I'm not going backward too far away, Alex, but opportunity. Now, it wasn't like we have it today. Okay, where are you? And we get on our cell phone, and we say, oh, yeah, we're over here and a certain place. Well, I am sending this to you by mail, and you should get it. I'm going to send it by a courier, and you should get it tomorrow. Matter of fact, let me give you this number, and you can track it and see how far it is away from you. Think about in those days, Paul, on these journeys, and how long would he stay there? He did not know for sure. He didn't. So here was the church at Philippi. Nobody had given to him on a regular basis more so than the church at Philippi. But they had lost a little bit. I think it was not them, what they were going through. I think it was them, where can we send this to Paul? How can we get it? And they send Epaphroditus out. They get word. I think he's over here, even in a prison now. We got that word. He'll probably be there for a while. So Epaphroditus, get on it and take it to him. So they had this opportunity, and they made the most of it. Alex, I just want to say this. What Abe said earlier is what I fully agree with, that we feel like God has given us, in his mercy and grace, an opportunity for the church to do the work that God's called us to do in the Great Commission at home and around the world, to have the opportunity to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry and letting them know that we stand firmly on the Word of God. Alex, I think that opportunity has come here, and so we're not lacking the opportunity now. We have that opportunity. We need to make the most of it, don't we?
Well, we really do. We really do. And, you know, with the election, Bert, I heard earlier that more and more major retailers are saying Merry Christmas this year. Maybe, just maybe, the spell of wokeness and progressivism and political correctness is, there's a window of opportunity because suddenly people are spiritually hungry. The world is a dangerous place, and people are, at least for a moment, they look like they're open to truth. So we don't want to squander this opportunity. Now, we want to work for Jesus and to be a witness. And folks, this is a prime time. Invite people to church. Thanksgiving services are coming, Christmas services, maybe pastors, as I'm going to do. There's a little church I'm helping out called Mount Pleasant Church. The entire month of December, I'm going to be preaching about the coming of Christ and what that means. And Bert, study after study, the Billy Graham Ministry, Lifeway, says people are spiritually open at this time. So we shouldn't let this go by. Now, let me tie this to Philippians 4:13. After talking about, you know, to be content, to full or hungry, trusting God, okay, you get to verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, Bert, I've seen that on bumper stickers, on jewelry. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that is true. We can. So let me say this. I've had people say, I cannot forgive somebody who hurt me. Well, in Christ you can, because Paul says that we can do all things. So if forgiving somebody is a thing, well, in Christ, he can help you do that. Overcome a bad habit. Get back into your Bible. Pray. Turn away from sin. That's what it means to repent, to turn from sin, to, with God's help, change the way that you're living. Bert, we know God would never hurt us. And if he's calling us to the right path, it's for our own good. And he will help us do these things, won't he?
He really will. And let's tie this in. I know I'm doing this. Go back and what he said in 13, is it tied to what all he said before? Yes, it is. And I want to go back to verse 9, read that, and then skip down to verse 13. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And I, Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Since he could do it, guess what? In verse 9, these you can do as well. Just
Amen.
Exactly what you said, Alex, about that forgiveness, about trusting the Lord in the most difficult times of your life, going through the loss. I mean, I know we grieve losses, the loss of a loved one, and it may be a child, like our friend J.J. Jasper, and he and his wife, and what they went through in the loss of their son, and how God has maintained them and sustained them. It did do away with the hurt, and it's still painful. Have you ever heard of that? When you amputate a leg and people say, well, they still have a leg ache and the leg's gone.
Mm-hmm. It's phantom pain.
Yeah, phantom pain. And that phantom pain may stay with you. I'm not saying that, but I am saying in Christ, you know how to be abased. You know how to thrive. So you know what it is to have difficulty, but you also know how it is to thrive on that. You can do these things in Christ, and in Christ alone. He'll give you, and go back what he said, the peace of God from the God of peace. Alex, he can bring us through, can't he?
Bert, a couple of hours ago, Angie and I went to see a lovely, lovely family, and the mom came home from the hospital today because she doesn't have long to live, and not very old of a person. Family of the husband and wife were educators, and then the two daughters, one is a doctor and one's a veterinarian. Great, great Christian family. And the mom, right here at Thanksgiving, has just found out because of cancer that she is not going to live long. So Angie and I went over there to just, you know, try to pray with them. And the mom said, you know, I'm going to do this with Jesus. And, you know, come what may. And the diagnosis is very, very, very grim. But she said, you know what? He promised to never leave or forsake me.
Amen.
I'll go through this with Jesus. No matter where you are, folks, Jesus wants to be with you through every step of the journey into his presence in heaven forever. That really is a blessing.
It is a blessing, and it can be your blessing as well. We want to take your call. That number is 888-589-8840. If you have a Bible question, call us.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, the American Family Radio Network. Hey, we're going to go to the calls, and if you've got a Bible question, the number, super easy, it's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We're going to go to questions here in a moment, but hey, Bert, I would like to invite people to First Baptist Church of Shallot, and that's spelled S-H-A-L-L-O-T-T-E. Shallot is basically the area of like Wilmington, North Carolina. Way down on the coast, you know, it's a little bit north of Myrtle Beach, just a little bit south of Wilmington. Bob Weathers, great pastor. They listen to Exploring the Word. But I will be there Saturday from 9 to 1, and we're doing a seminar. It's Biblical Worldview, but it's really with an emphasis on parenting, how to impart a Christian worldview in your family, and especially in the lives of your children. That's this Saturday. And I believe that's November 16, First Baptist Church of Shallot, just one of those wonderful coastal towns. And love to meet you. Come on out, and 9 to 1, and we will have Q&A. There'll be lunch, and it's going to be a good time of teaching and training. And so I thought I'd make everybody aware of that.
If you're in that area, you will be blessed. If you go here, Alex, and I know it will be an equipping ministry for you. Also, we want to make sure everybody knows about the National Collection Week for Samaritan's Purse and the Shoebox. Again, that's next week, so get that shoebox filled, and you can go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC. That's samaritanspurse.org/OCC, and you can find out the drop-off places. You can find out if you need help in what to put in the shoebox. It has all these suggestions. So I pray that you'll do that. Again, that's this Sunday all the way through the week. And SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. So we thank you for being a part of that. Well, Alex, we ready for the phone calls?
Let's do it. Mississippi is where we begin. David in Mississippi, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, Alex. Hey, Bert. First of all, thank you so much for all y'all do every week and encouraging people. And I just wanted to send an encouraging word to what you just spoke about with that woman that you and Angie visited with the diagnosis, and that our pastor was preaching out of John this weekend, and he was preaching about Jesus sending the disciples to Capernaum over in the boat, and how he knew that there was going to be a storm there. But until the disciples recognized that it was Jesus, and he told them that it was he that was there, they invited him in. So the point is we're all going to have storms that we're going to go through, but we need to invite Jesus, and it sounds like she is and does, into our boat. So I just wanted to
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you, David. That it is beautiful. Jesus is in the boat with us. That listen, him coming, he said, it is far better that I go away. For when I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, and he will dwell in you. Alex, what we have in Christ Jesus as a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I know I was saved. Man, I was saved, listen to this, 60 years ago. And if I could sing, I would sing this song. It is better now than it was then. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. David, thank you for that, brother.
Amen. God bless you. And thank you for caring and praying. And that's a great call. Robert in Pennsylvania. Welcome, Robert. Thank you for calling in.
I appreciate you guys. You know, you do a good job with this, and I appreciate some of the other stuff on AFR radio. You know, it's really great. I'm blessed. I got a question about it. There's a verse in Psalms that uses the word terrible. Mm-hmm. It's Psalm 68:35.
Yes.
And there's other places in Psalms that uses this word terrible, and the newer Bibles say awesome. Is that, which is it?
You know, it really is the Hebrew word, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, N-O-W-R-A, maybe it's Nora or Naura, but it means awesome, like be great and wonderful beyond description. And I know the King James, I've got one here, O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Now, the word terrible, do you know, like, dinosaur means terrible lizard. And terrible was a word at one time that connoted majesty and power and size. And Bert, I know now we think of terrible as a negative or evil word, but I really do think it means that God is awesome, just powerful and wonderful beyond description.
If you read this, listen, let me just start reading in verse 32, and I'm reading from New King James, and it does use the word awesome, but listen to verse 32 and following. Sing, O to God, you kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises to the Lord, to him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome. Do you see how that fits in with that? And you did a good job of describing what terrible once was. And it says, you're more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. So you see how that the word terrible, the way we use it now, doesn't even fit into that description and praise that the psalmist was given. But awesome is that word. So anyway, we appreciate that, Robert. Hope that helps, brother.
Great call. Frank in Kentucky, thank you for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, brother, man. I want to say to you, to ask you a question. Did you and your wife go over to this person's house that had cancer?
Yeah, we did. We did.
Okay. What I'm trying to say is the Word of God says, you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And if you believe in God, then, but it can't be any doubt. You do these things by faith. It takes faith. Not an ounce of doubt in it. So I'm not saying that the person that you lay hands on, they must have faith as well, that they can be healed. But if you lay hands on them, I just gave you a scripture. You know that's in the scriptures. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
That's right. Let me say thank you so much, brother. Thank you so much. You know, in Mark 16, verse 17, talking about the believers, and it says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And, you know, Bert, we've had services before where we would anoint people with oil, and the elders of the church and different ones pray over the sick. And I do believe in that. I do believe. Let me just say this, and Bert, you feel free to disagree. I believe in miracles and healings and God doing things. I do. I've seen God do miraculous things. I've also seen that sometimes the healing comes when people get to heaven. And while I completely believe in trusting God in faith, and Bert, for physical needs, financial needs, spiritual breakthrough, believe me, we trust God all the way. But at the same time, we've got to give God space to sovereignly do what he knows is best. Yeah. Would you agree?
I agree fully. Listen, here's the idea. We trust him. I trust him more than I trust my desires. Now, let me just share with you. I trust him. Illness may come my way. It may happen tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds, except we know who holds tomorrow. My faith is in him and what he chooses to do. That's where it is. And many times it is healing. We have to anointing with oil, laying hands and praying over them. I believe in it. I've done it. But we also trust God. And, you know, if that's what we're doing, Frank. We're trusting God no matter what you bring our way. And I think that goes in with what Paul was saying to the church at Philippi. I've learned whatever state I am to be content. What state? He had a thorn in the flesh that was not taken away. He was content with that. He was in jail when he could have been out doing, but he was content with that. God, I am content with what you bring our way. With all my heart, I think that's where we're to come and surrender to him in faith. Go ahead, Alex.
Ron in Texas. Ron, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program. Hey, Ron. Ron in Texas, are you there? Okay. We're going to try Paul also in Texas. Hey, Paul, are you there?
Hey, yeah, I'm here. Yes, sir.
Welcome. Yes, you're on.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Hey, so I'm trying to read the Bible cover to cover. I usually read it, but I'll hop around, you know. But I'm trying to do it just from cover to cover. But I'm coming across some stuff that's like in Exodus chapter 33 where it says Moses spake with God face to face as a man would speak to his friend. After the pillar of cloud descended at the door of the tabernacle, but then later in that chapter, or I think before or later, it says that no one's seen God face to face or will live. Like, how do you make meaning of that? Like,
let me put two words out here, and they're going to sound a little philosophical, but they're one word is comprehend, and one word is apprehend. Now, to comprehend something means to understand it. To apprehend really means to fully know something. Now, in John 1:8, where it says, no man has seen God. I'm sorry, John 1:18. No one has seen God at any time. But the wording there, what it really means, that no one has seen, if you look up that word, it means to fully discern,
right,
or to fully perceive. Now, Moses encountered God, and they had to put a veil over him. He just shone with the glory of God. But nobody, whether it be Moses or the Apostle Paul, or, you know, John was caught up to the third heaven, even though many people have experienced God, I think what it means in the John 1:18 is no one has fully apprehended everything about the eternal, unlimited God, even in heaven. And we will be in God's presence if you're a believer. But there's still some things about God that I just don't know the finite mind can ever get itself around.
Amen, Alex. And I love him because of that. Our understanding is limited. Listen, even in the Trinity, we've had people, we don't get it. Well, I understand that I believe it. Can I fully explain it? We've had people call and say, hey, does this explain it? This explain it? And they do a good job, but every time they do that, I say, no, but what about this? It is beyond our ability to completely ascertain God, who he is completely, Alex. You said it well, brother.
Well, Paul, thank you for that great question. It's a really good question. Dana in Mississippi. Dana, thanks for holding. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to call and ask for prayer for an event that we're having at our church tomorrow night. It is called The Blessing of the Hunt. It's put on by Goss Baptist Church in Columbia, Mississippi. It'll be at the Expo Center. And it starts at 5 p.m., and it's a free entry to anyone who wants to come, and there's lots of door prizes. And we have a guest speaker from Harvest Ministries named Jay Louder, and he should be really good to hear. So if you want to come out, and we're giving away hunting trips and shooting houses.
Well, we're going to be praying. Matter of fact, that's what we want. We're praying for Alex this weekend. So we got a lot of things to pray for, Alex, and that's one of them. Dana, we're praying that it would reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of those things reach men that, you know, they don't reach, you know, a regular service might not reach, but these can reach some men like that, can it, Alex?
Absolutely. Well, bless you, Dana. I hope it's a great success. David in Oklahoma. David, thanks for holding.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm just calling, asking for prayer for my wife and family and me. Supposed to be at divorce court tomorrow, and my wife and I have been married for 43 years and asking for a healing and restoration and reconciliation. and just ask for you fellas to pray for us. My wife's name is Julia.
Julia. Okay, here we have it. Pray for Julia. Pray for David. And ask God to do a miraculous work. Alex, just breaks my heart, brother.
I know. In fact, I want to pray right now, and I know we've only got a moment. David, and everybody everywhere, join with us in this. Father God, you resurrected Lazarus. Jesus conquered the grave. Please resurrect this relationship. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for them. Pour out your grace on these people. And I would ask that you would do a miracle and restore this marriage rather than have it go through divorce. In Jesus' name we ask it, Lord. Amen.
Julia and David, write their names down. Be praying for them, asking God to do that miracle. Listen, miracles like this sometimes are greater miracles than the physical miracles, Alex, that we talked about earlier, you know.
I know. What a great day. And we're going to wrap up Philippians 4 tomorrow. Be with us. And, hey, pray for our nation. Thank God for our nation. And as we get towards Thanksgiving, cultivate that spirit of gratitude. Thanks for listening to Exploring the Word. Tell somebody about AFR and Exploring the Word. But most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio. As a federal or state employee, you have the opportunity to support the American Family Association through the combined federal campaign by designating a monthly payroll deduction using 12037. You help AFA continue to fight for your family. So when you complete your CFC form, remember, AFA's number is 12037. And thank you for your help.